John today, where we find Jesus in Jerusalem, right after the Passover festival. When he first arrived in Jerusalem, he saw the money changers in the temple courts, got angry, flipped their tables over, and drove them out of the temple with a whip. Since the Passover, he has been teaching and healing and doing many wondrous things, and folks have taken notice. Our scripture reading is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One of the most infuriating and fascinating things about Jesus is that he does not answer our questions. We come to Jesus with questions like, "What should our nation's foreign policy be?" And, "How much screen time is too much screen time for an 8-year-old? And, "What kind of bread should we use for communion?" And we learn very quickly that the Bible is not interested in giving us the specific, straightforward, detailed answers we would very much like to have. There are no comprehensive election reform or gun safety legislation proposals in the Sermon on the Mount. But as Nicodemus learns, that does not mean Jesus is not teaching us how to live in the world we have in front of us. Nicodemus comes to Jesus afraid. He's concerned about his reputation, and given the kerfuffle in the temple, Jesus is not exactly someone you would want to be seen hanging out with if you had any kind of career ahead of you in the religious establishment. So he comes to Jesus at night, like something out of a spy movie. I'm not entirely sure what Nicodemus expected to happen, but what he left with was probably more questions than answers. Maybe that was the point. One of my beloved colleagues refers to Nicodemus as the patron saint of slow growth. He does not seem to have an aha moment. He doesn't suddenly give up his seat on the high court. He doesn't turn away from his life and vocation to follow Jesus and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. We see him only two other times in the Gospel of John. Once when he kind of defends Jesus to the other religious leaders, saying, we should at least hear him out before we arrest him for blasphemy. And once after Jesus' death, when he brings an extraordinary amount of spices and oil to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Both times, he is described only as the one who came to see Jesus at night. But still, Nicodemus shows up. He comes to Jesus and he sits with him and he asks the questions without pretending to understand something he doesn't. Nicodemus comes to Jesus as a student, even calling him rabbi. And Jesus teaches Nicodemus by answering the questions that Nicodemus doesn't ask. This is one of the defining characteristics of Jesus' teaching. He rarely directly answers the questions he's asked. Instead, he answers the questions he knows that we need to ask. He trains his disciples, the people around him, slowly but surely, to ask different questions. So when Nicodemus says to him, we know you've come from God because you've done such wonderful things and you've shown such power, Jesus smiles and nods and says, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they've been born from above. Now, at that point, I probably would have smiled and nodded and said, okay, and headed for the door. But Nicodemus, this patron saint of slow growth, recognizes this style. It's the way many rabbis in the ancient world taught through conversation and questioning and questioning and questioning some more. So he leans in and he takes Jesus a little too literally. Wait, what? How does that work? How can you be born a second time? And so it's somewhat ironic then that Nicodemus, the one who has no dramatic conversion, no born again moment, is the one to whom Jesus explains what it is to be born from above. Fun fact, the Greek word there can mean either again or from above, which has frustrated pastors and Greek students all over the world for more than 2,000 years. As Jesus tells it, to be born from above is to be born of water and spirit, to be called over here and over there, to do the work we are called to, even when we're not 100% sure what God is up to. Because like the wind, we cannot always see the Spirit's movements among us, but we can see and feel its effects. Later, Paul would write about the same kind of inner transformation, the inner wisdom of the Holy Spirit in his letter to the Romans. He said, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In some ways, Jesus acknowledges Nicodemus as a colleague, a teacher and a leader in his own right, in his time and place. But in this moment, Jesus also claims for himself an authority outside of the structures that Nicodemus knows. The rabbis have debated and taught and codified and hedged around the law for centuries. But Jesus is not teaching from someone else's book. He's writing his own story. All of his parables, all of the metaphors and images, all of the pictures we have in our heads of who God is and how God works in us and in the world, rather than answering very specific questions for every time and every place, Jesus wants to help us understand the heart of God. John Calvin, that 15th century reformer and theologian, says that all of God's words to us are like baby talk. While our understanding of God is limited, God desperately wants to be understood, for us to know the core of who God is. So God simplifies and narrates and finds ways to highlight the good news in this imperfect world that we already see and already know. Like every good teacher, God bends to meet us where we already are, so that we can grow into deeper understanding, greater love. Jesus teaches us to see the grace of God in the ordinary stuff of everyday life. The wasteful, arrogant son who comes home. The woman who's lost a day's wages somewhere in the house. The farmer who throws seed indiscriminately. The disciple who walks on water. The field with wheat and weeds all mixed in together. The builders who built a house on the sand. We see God in those things. In our relationships, in our lessons learned the hard way, in sunrises and forests and river currents, because Jesus taught us how. That's why we still break bread together. That's why we still sprinkle water on little faces. That's why some of us wore ashes on our foreheads. Because our God is a God of show and tell. Nicodemus probably hoped for a grand revelation or some specific set of instructions for his own life and the religious establishment as a whole. But what he gets is a whole lot of metaphor, a reference to Moses, and a spoiler for what God is up to in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. I want you to think for a moment about your favorite teacher, the one you learned the most from. You have somebody in mind? I'm going to hazard a guess that this person was not your favorite teacher solely because they were really smart and had all the right answers and gave those answers to you perfectly. The teachers who tend to make the greatest impact on us are the ones who care about us as people. These are the teachers who know that students are more than just receptacles for fun facts, that teaching is more than passing on the right answers. These are the teachers who cultivate a culture of trust, of sharing, of curiosity, a place where questions are celebrated and wondering is safe. Now, teaching does require you to know some things. That's why teachers have degrees and certificates and requirements. But we all know that teaching, on the whole, is about so much more than just getting the right answers. When I was in seminary, where everyone suddenly thinks they know everything, and everyone is in a great hurry to get all of that knowledge out into the world, our professors, our teachers, would often remind us, no one cares about what you know until they know that you care. Friends, if that is true, then what better teacher could we possibly have than the one who loves the entire cosmos? That's the Greek word, cosmos, which means not just the nice humans at church on Sunday or the very lovable dogs, but every speck of stardust, every angry teenager, every stubborn parent, every blade of grass. Jesus does not come into the world to condemn a single atom, but to save the whole thing, to teach us what it is to live here and now in this world which God has given us. And so we too become students of Jesus. Like Nicodemus, the patron saint of slow growth, we too eventually learn to ask the questions that Jesus answers and find some guidance for our own questions along the way. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'll invite us now to rise as you're able for hymn number 515, I Come With Joy.